You ready?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Free Art Friday Atlanta podcast. This is Blockhead. I am your host, filling in for Negative Neil. This would be podcast episode number 18. Today is Valentine's Day, so I figured who better to sit down with than my lovely wife, Mrs. Blockhead.
Hello.
So we're going to hang out for a little bit. I apologize if this is slightly awkward. Keep in mind I am interviewing my wife. And so I already know the answer to everything, but we're going to get rolling, right off the bat. Go ahead and tell me how you got started and wrapped up in this whole thing. I know we have basically a shared history, so you're kind of telling my history as well, but how did it happen?
Well, my husband was bit by a radioactive whittling knife.
Is that what happened to me?
That's what happened. I mean, that's what I saw. And became Blockhead. And as you were, I guess by extension, I was automatically Mrs. Blockhead, but I didn't have a Twitter account yet. So I was really interested in the blockheads that you were painting and the possibilities of ways that those could be painted. So I just, that's the first time I actually pulled out paints for myself in years, I think, when I started painting blockheads for you. And that was fun. And I really enjoyed just the challenge of doing these little paintings, and nobody really knew that I did them. You knew, and then we moved on with our days. It kind of got me really into painting again. And then I think over time we went to an Everyman production party, and I got to meet some people in the community and make some friends there. So like Flounder and Ms. ATL and some other people. Mariarda, the Mariarda family.
That's right.
And so I was getting more into the community, but didn't have a way to interact on Twitter because I still hadn't set up a Twitter account. And so I think it just sort of happened over time where Flounder was one of the few people that even knew that I was painting blockheads for you, because she confiscated the very first one I ever painted, which was a goldfish bowl, goldfish in a bowl as the head. And so she asked you to have me paint a blank flounder, and I had a lot of fun with that challenge because I decided that I didn't want it to just be a flounder. I wanted it to be something else, and so I took an octopus and made it like an octopus that was in the shape of a flounder, sort of disguising itself.
Which octopuses tend to do.
That's right. I don't know if they've maybe ever tried to be a flounder. Right. So regardless, I had so much fun doing that, and I think that's what got me interested in the challenge of painting more things. And my husband, Mr. Blockhead, kept encouraging me to find something of my own to do. And so I just started thinking, like, okay, you know, I could do that. And I think part of it was that for a long time, I didn't mind that I was just painting them and then you were putting them out as your stuff. And when people didn't know that I painted them, it didn't matter if people knew that I painted them. But somewhere along the line, I think I was, you know, kind of frustrated at work with the lack of recognition or encouragement that I got there. Just in general in my life, there wasn't a lot of, you know, aside from my family, people acknowledging anything that I did. And it shouldn't matter, but at the time it really did. And so I think I realized, I mean, to be perfectly honest, the reason I started painting more as myself instead of just as you was that it was nice to get the little favorites and the little tweetbacks and all of that and the recognition of doing something.
Yeah, because you didn't have your Twitter handle, and so basically I wasn't even telling people about the ones you painted, not because it mattered, I just didn't think to mention it. And then I got the praise and right. Or the whatever, and yeah, I understand that, I guess.
Yeah. Eventually, I was just like, I want people to know that I did this, too.
Well, also, you were missing out on a lot of conversations.
I was. I couldn't interact. And so, thought, well, what better Twitter handle to have than Mrs. Blockhead? Because then I can ride on my husband's coattails. And then everyone knows who I am, and there's no question. As far as within the community.
Early on with some of the blockheads, when you were painting them, I know in the beginning, I wasn't very a confident painter. And so I'd ask you to do some. I would even say, can you paint an eye on this for me? Because I don't feel confident about that, or something like that.
Right.
But you also had your own things you were interested in.
I really liked the idea of having something that was supposed to be a different shape and fitting it into this square format. So, like, I really liked the goldfish bowls. I painted a few where I painted every side of the bowl on the square edges, but it was a round bowl. And so you'd see the fish from all these different angles. I feel like I did a couple other things like that, but right now I can't remember what.
I can't remember what I've painted, but just what you've painted. I have to go through my record of photos, and there's too many. So when you first started, you did that octopus, but then you moved into the goldfish bowls. Why did you choose the goldfish bowls?
So I've been fascinated with goldfish for a really long time. I think partially just because aesthetically, I think that they're interesting to look at. For a long time, back in college, I have an art degree, and so, as you know, obviously.
I do know.
And so I would actually, I had goldfish at home just to use as a reference for sculptures or videos and things like that that I was doing with goldfish as a subject. And so when I was thinking about what I want to do, it just seemed kind of like a natural progression to go back to the goldfish and octopi, because they're both just so awesome. And so I think, I mean, I have in my head, there's like these conceptual reasons why goldfish and octopi, but ultimately, I just think they're fun to paint. They look really cool.
Well, tell us the conceptual reasons in your head.
That don't come out at all in the painting. Okay, well, at some point, I got really interested in the idea or the symbolism, really, of a solitary goldfish in a bowl as sort of the way that many of us live our lives a lot, as far as, you know, a solitary commuter in a car driving around by themselves all day, or all of us staring at our computers and not really interacting with other people because we're immersed in our own little worlds. And goldfish are actually very, they're schooling fish, so they thrive in a community. And yet we will take one and put it in a tiny little bowl and say, oh, isn't that pretty? And they're, you know, this idea of this dumb creature that's stuck all by itself and looking out and just being sort of removed from the rest of the world. And for some reason, to me, that really spoke to humans in our modern world and a lot of the way that we sort of seclude ourselves. So that doesn't come out at all in the painting, and I know that, but that's in my head. But so the octopi, to me, it's almost the opposite, because octopi are more solitary creatures, but they're very curious, and they are very talented and smart, and, you know, they will get out of their tank to try to go eat a flounder in another tank, or, you know, they'll steal somebody's camera and go take off with it in the middle of the water. And they're just really neat, and, you know, just, but they, it seems like they interact more. Like, I actually feel like I can understand that an octopus is actually thinking about things, whereas a goldfish is not. But I, in college, went to the Tampa Aquarium once, and they had a smaller octopus in a small tank. And when I was there, there was a woman who was cleaning the tank. And literally, you could not even see the woman. You just saw a hand cleaning a tank. And I wouldn't have thought much of it, except then she started petting the octopus. And the octopus was so excited just, like, to be, you know, interacting. And so you could tell that it was like, okay, yeah, you know, pet my head more. And then she would hold out like a bottle, and the octopus would squeeze through the bottle and come out the other side. And they had all these different strange shaped containers that it would fit itself into and then come back out. And it was this crazy thing. And I've been sort of obsessed with octopi ever since I realized that they were, you know, really cool and interactive. So.
Well, and your background is in conceptual art, right?
Yeah, so that's my problem, is I'm very much indoctrinated in this idea that art should have some sort of thought and meaning behind it and not just be pretty, unfortunately, because I really just like making things pretty, but apparently they're supposed to have meaning.
According to the school you went to.
Yeah, I've really been very much indoctrinated. I mean, I got an art history minor too, and it was mostly focused in 20th century, more conceptual work. And so, and I love it. I mean, I, you know, took the classes because I really like them. So I am really interested in how art can be used to bring beauty into the world, and not just beauty as far as, oh, look, a pretty picture, but really getting people to rethink things and reframe how they look at the world, and ways that art can be used to interact and breathe life into things.
But it was very taxing and you got burnt out.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and that was the critique part. You know, you spend 4 years of people telling you that nothing you do is good enough. Like, that's literally what art school was for me, was just people, their job is every time you turn something in is to tear it apart. Yeah, that burnt me out for a while. I didn't want to paint after college for a very long time.
I enjoyed your paintings in college, and as you obviously know, I made you give me one when we were dating. So I was glad when you finally...
I wouldn't say made me. You did ask for
one. I said you're going to give me that, and you said okay. But I was glad to see you get back into the painting, and I know it's very cathartic for you, so it's definitely been good to watch you paint again.
It's been really therapeutic. You know, I had a long time where I just didn't feel good, and my head didn't feel good, and the kids would drive me crazy on a Saturday, and it just really helped to be able to center and focus on painting and just being able to tackle this one small thing. I also love painting things small because it's so, like, you know, it just doesn't take forever.
One thing about your work that I find interesting as far as in relation to everyone else's is how many people have chosen a similar subject matter, I guess three of you guys, that I can think of, with the same types of sea creatures, and you, koi, and flounder all overlap in your subject matter a lot.
But stylistically, yeah, they're all completely different. I don't feel like we're doing the same thing.
Right, and I'm sure they don't feel that way either, but you all seem to be fans of each other's work, which is fun that there's no competition between, I have to do a better seahorse than she does.
Yeah, no sense of competition. Definitely a lot of admiration. I love Flounder's work. I have the most amazing seahorse from Flounder, as a matter of fact, and I think that everything Koi does is amazing. I want them all.
They're both very talented. You brought up earlier the Everyman production party, and I know that was a big moment for you as far as the community and this whole free art movement in general, and really figuring out some things. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I wouldn't have known a thing about Free Art Friday if it wasn't for you getting into it and running out to the mall to get a Catlana. And even then, I wasn't paying a lot of attention. It was just, I mean, my husband is a crazy collector and is always obsessed about collecting something, and so it made sense that you had this thing, and at least this one was free, and so rock on. And so I didn't really feel any, I guess, even that much interest in it, other than I really did appreciate the idea of bringing art out to the world and removing it from the museum walls. So that, I thought, conceptually was great. But as far as any of the rest, I didn't really give it much thought. I had enough other things, you know, that I was consumed with. So then you dragged me to an Everyman production party, just going on about how you really wanted me to come, and I was like, I guess we will drag the kids and check it out. And so not knowing much about it, I was really expecting that this was going to be some artist, you know, Everyman, who thought that he was amazing and that, you know, all these people were just going to come do work for him and head out, and how privileged they would be to do this.
Like an Andy Warhol figure.
Right. And so, sure, that's going to be fine, but I felt intimidated, I guess. And then I actually met Everyman, and he's the opposite of that. You know, he's just so encouraging, and he took the time out to come and talk to me and find out why I was there and what I was interested in. And
he was really good with the kids.
He was great with the boys, and they love him. And yeah, I was really just taken by how much he just opened up his home to people he didn't know and was, yeah, super encouraging and wants to build everybody up. He's not there to get people to do work for him at all, you know? He wants people to be able to find their thing. So that was really impressive to me. And then, I just met some awesome people there that I'm friends with now. And, you know, our kids have play dates. And it was just pretty cool. So suddenly I wanted to, have a forum to talk to these people more often.
And the podcast interviews that I've done, Everyman obviously keeps coming up. And I guess there's a reason for that. Everyman is a big pivotal figure in this community. And the production parties, I think, are important to that, giving everyone a sense of community and hanging out. And it's just something that I'm obviously is important, but I'm seeing everyone recognizing it as important, which is also a nice thing to see everyone realize what this is. So right. That's just my observations. So tell me about some of the artists in this community that you enjoy, or the people who have influenced you, or their influences from outside of this community.
Yeah, I think the best way to start, I mean, obviously, there's so many talented people in this community. As everyone interviewed always says, we can't possibly name all of them. But I would say the one that stands out to me the most is the first artist that I got really interested in, separate from you introducing me to them, and that's Tangranimals. I stumbled upon her on Twitter and thought, these are so cool. And I think I brought her up to you. Well, I didn't know it was she yet, even.
Right.
And started really getting into the Tangrams. And I think, in fact, that was the first piece that I wanted to have for myself, was you went out to the
The Christmas tree decorating for people to come pick up the art.
Right.
In 2012. There's a two in it. And that was, thank you for that, a very awkward situation. I don't think she was very familiar with me or what I was doing. And so I walk up and I'm like, hey, my wife told me to trade with you. And she's like, who are you? What do you make? Do I even like your stuff? You know, it was this thing. I mean, she didn't say all this. I was trying to read and pick it up. And if you're hearing this, hopefully I'm not putting words in your head that weren't there. Miss Tangranimals, go ahead with your story.
Yes, so I think everything Tangranimals does is just fantastic. I love that she has really put herself in this very strict requirement of everything having to be a Tangram, and yet there's so much versatility. And especially the things that she's done for the shows that I've seen have just been mind-blowing awesome. So, big fan. Another one we already mentioned, Koi's. Is it UK Koi? Something like that. I just think everything she does is so cool, and I want her to adopt me and take me home and teach me how to paint with octopi.
Real, actual octopi.
Yes. Wesley Moose, just, I'm always impressed by everything that he makes. It's just so much care and craft to it, and they're also just really creative. But just so nicely done. I'm always super impressed with everything that Wesley does. And then I guess the last one that really stands out is a totally different style from the rest is Wishlanta. That I wish I had a Wishlanta because they're just so neat. And I just also really loved ceramics when I was back in the day when I actually had access to kilns and studios and wheels and all that. So I'm always envious of anyone who's able to make things with clay, and hers are particularly beautiful.
So mentioning back in the day when you had access to this stuff is, again, in talking about college, and you've mentioned college several times. So something that I think is really interesting is the wrong word, but funny, I guess, I don't know, is we met in college at University of Florida, and it's funny to me how many artists have come out of University of Florida and are now here in Atlanta creating. And they didn't even know they were artists back then, a lot of them. But now they're here in Free Art Friday. There's like five of us total. And I'm not going to say all their names because I don't know. Some of them are a little secretive. And I don't know if they want people to know where they went to school necessarily. But I'm just being cautious. But there were five of us creating these free art pieces who were all in Gainesville, Florida at almost the exact same time. I think there's one or two people who don't overlap. I was there while everyone was there, but we didn't meet until here with this.
Until here.
It's just a strange little thing. So anyway, back to actual asking you questions.
Sure.
thank you for the permission to ask you some more questions. You told me you had ideas for where you'd like to see Free Art Friday Atlanta go.
I don't know if that's the way I would phrase it. I guess if I did phrase it that way, that would be poor phrasing. But what I would be interested in seeing in the community, because I'm coming from this, like, art needs to have meaning behind it kind of thing, I think it's great that there's so many people making stuff and that everyone has their thing that they are able to really pour into. I do think it's interesting where someone takes a shape, so like a blockhead or a moose, and then is able to do so much within that structure. You know, like Jasper Johns did a lot of that, just like picking a symbol or a structure and then being able to add, you know, add to that and build from that. So I think that that's really interesting, but what I would love to see is a little more concept coming out of it. And I wouldn't know what even that would mean, but I just figure that's the next, like, that's the next logical place for this to go, is to, I guess, mature a little bit. I don't know if that's the right word.
I know with a lot of people, this is an outlet to them, in a way it is to you too. And some of these things they do that are just fun to look at, a little silly. I mean, a lot of my blockheads are very silly. And that they're just a fun thing to do, and they don't want to have to think or take seriously. But I do know what you mean as far as art in general tending to look towards some of the conceptual pieces and what they...
Right, and you're absolutely right. I mean, yeah, because I don't have much interest in doing any more than just painting some pretty things and leaving them out. I'm not looking to be conceptual.
Beyond your secret concept?
Beyond my secret... What's my secret concept? Oh, right. Beyond the concept that nobody knows, that we're all fish in bowls. But I guess I just think that that would be an interesting place. Like, there's got to be people out there right now thinking about this. And, you know, I just keep expecting someone to pop up that does things a little more conceptual and a little more of a way to bring art to Atlanta in a thoughtful way, I guess.
And you're also interested in seeing people do more, like, mass drops and things like
that. Yeah, that's my big pet peeve about the whole system, the whole way it works, is how much we're burning carbon footprints doing it. Is, you know, like, you drop a piece somewhere in Atlanta and five different people are going to hop in their cars and drive trying to find it. Only one of them's going to find it and win that piece, and that person might even be on a bike. So then you've got all this gas burnt for, I guess, unnecessarily.
For the people trying to get it that aren't getting
it. That aren't getting it. For the people that try to hunt, that hunters that are trying and just don't get what they're looking for. And so, to me, I mean, especially because it's such a big city, this is not really a walking city where everyone's hopping out on their bikes and walking and getting things. Some are, and I think that's great. I'm so jealous of everyone that lives in the city and can go bike to do their drops and to do their pickups, and sadly I'm not one of them. So that's always been the thing that bugs me about it, and that's why I'm a big fan of trades, because that way you're not leaving something and hoping that someone else picks it up and hoping they didn't drive from halfway across town. You know, like, you have a plan of when you're going to see someone and make a trade with them. And then, you know, it's just a little more efficient. But I also love where, like, Catlanta will get a whole box of cats and put them all out, because I think that increases the chances of people not, you know, wasting their effort to get there. But then again, Catlanta is so popular that there's still probably plenty of wasted effort.
I'd probably say that I mean, let's say he puts out a litter with 8 cats or 10 cats, that you're going to have probably, that's 10 people guaranteed coming out, and then the ones who miss it.
Right.
Where if you have one piece, someone finds it, hopefully if they tweet back, it's sort of quick and you can post that it's been picked up, and maybe 5 people come out. Or I did the parachute drop and dropped 30 blockheads and there were 50 plus people there. So some of the mass drops end up actually making more travel and more, and that's Precious has been doing some really great mass drops lately too.
Right. I could see that. I would argue that for, let's say, your big event drop, which I missed because I could not get the kids there, that you're still coming out for the spectacle. You're still coming out for the experience. And so
I'm just talking about strictly the gas consumption side of it. Yeah. Which is what got you thinking all this.
Yes, but I was thinking of it as wasted gas. And if you're all driving to have this experience of the blockhead invasion, I think that even if you don't walk away with a blockhead, you still gain the experience. You didn't drive, 15 minutes to say, "Ah, man, it's gone," and turn around and drive home.
Okay. Yeah, right. I understand now. I thought you just meant in general people driving.
In general, Atlanta, to get anywhere you drive, and that stinks, and I hate it more than anybody because I have to do it. But I'm thinking more of just like the wasted effort that comes out with the competition of driving somewhere to maybe get something.
Right. Complaint noted.
And I don't have a solution other than that's why I like trades.
And not everyone, because not everyone is making, and so people that are hunting, I mean, I guess trades only works for people who are makers.
Right.
I guess hunters could become makers if they can't secure themselves a piece. But some people don't really do trades either. You talk about Catlana, he doesn't really do a lot of trades.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that only gets you so far, but
yeah, I didn't say it was a solution. I don't have a solution. I'm still going to, whenever I get around to painting something, I'm still going to drop things and hope that someone wastes their gas to come out and get it so it doesn't just get rained on.
Right. So what do we have to look forward to from you? What's coming from Mrs. Blockhead?
Gosh, I don't know. I haven't had much time to paint. For a while, I haven't felt like painting, and I haven't really even been able to be on Twitter, so I feel like I'm totally out of it again. But I've been painting a little bit again, trying to just do a little here and there. So my husband, who is always got new ideas about something. You know, you may have heard of him, Blockhead.
Who?
You know, Blockhead.
Oh, that guy.
You've encouraged me lately to kind of try some different things. So I've been painting some fish on wood, but not in the goldfish structure. And so we might have some different things there when you can cut them out of the wood and just have these goldfish forms. We'll see how that looks. I don't know yet how that's going to work out.
So maybe goldfish free of the bowl, ready to socialize and get out in the world.
Hey, look what we did there. Maybe. Like I said, I haven't figured out how this is going to work yet. So there's that. I do have a couple of spray paint
stencils
that once it's not cold out, I'd like to get a few things painted with the stencils so that I've got, more to drop. But yeah, I have ideas of things I wanted to paint forever, but it just takes time and I don't often have the time.
Stupid kids.
I know. Kids needing things and work wanting me to be there and
stupid
sleep.
Having a job.
Stupid life.
Is there anything that I haven't mentioned or we haven't brought up that you want to mention before we wrap this all up?
I don't think so. I'm sorry, everyone, that I stink at this.
I don't think you stink at this.
I'm sorry that I stink at the Twittering and the...
Oh, that.
And the prolific painting.
You do sort of stink at Twittering.
I stink at Twittering, and I don't get stuff painted all that often. It just takes too long. That's the thing I love about this, though, is that there is no requirement.
You just come and go.
Other than the requirements you put on yourself.
You just come and go as you please. There's other people who come and go as they please, and everyone is happy with that as well. It makes it special when they come out with something.
There you go. So like Arzakratis.
Exactly.
Whenever he comes out with something that's amazing.
Maybe somebody looks at you with, oh, look, finally a Mrs. Blockhead I can go hunt. But
maybe. If you're that person, you should tweet me and let me know so I feel good about myself.
So please send Mrs. Blockhead compliments. She could really...
I'm soliciting Twitter love. Thank you.
She could use some encouragement in being alive. That didn't sound pathetic at all.
Not at all.
All right, well, thank you for taking the time of Valentine's Day to sit with me on our couch in our house and talk.
There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Before we wrap this all up and go away, I want to mention that the FAFATL.com, that's a mouthful, website has photos from the rock and roll show at Trackside, which happened very recently. Ellie Font put together a nice little post there for you with pictures from the show in case you couldn't make it out. So feel free to check that out. And I want to invite all of you to contribute to the site if you have an article or there's some gallery show or there's something you want to talk about, you want to see that you think should be up there, you can do that. Get in touch with Neil. He will be posting this podcast and all his contact information should be on the podcast website. But it's Negneal, N-E-G-N-E-A-L. Get in touch with him. Let him know. You can write stuff. And it's a community. So let's make it a community site. Everybody contribute. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Neil would get on to me if I forgot to tell you to go and rate it and give it stars or do the things you're supposed to do so that we get ranked higher and more people listen to us. But otherwise, I will catch you next time. Adios.
Night, y'all.